wife's looking down on us this morning saying, that was really nice. I'm sure he was blessed by that this morning. We have got a Sunday humor, one of my favorite ones. By the way, next week I've got one. I've been holding off on it for a whole year because it's a 4th of July one. And I've wanted to do it a number of times, but I've disciplined myself, but it's going to be an awesome one. Okay, this one here, it says, George went on vacation to the Middle East with his family, including his mother-in-law. During their vacation in Jerusalem, George's mother-in-law, she died. With the death certificate in his hand, George went to the American consulate office to make arrangements to send the body back to the United States for proper burial. The consul told George that to send the body back to the United States for burial would be very, very expensive. It would cost them over $5,000. The consul told him that in most cases, the person responsible for the remains normally decided to bury the body in Jerusalem, and that it would only cost him $150. George thought for some time, and he answered, I don't care how much it will cost. I want the body sent back to the United States. The consul said, you must have really loved your mother-in-law very, very much, considering the difference in the price. No, it's not that, said George. You see, I know a case many, many years ago of a man who was buried here in Jerusalem, and on the third day he rose again, and I can't take that chance. All right, Jim. I think that was one you gave me. Wasn't that cute? That was a cute one. Okay. We've been talking about, like, for example, you know, Lynn, he's having a temperature and, you know, going to the hospital and stuff. And, you know, maybe Veronica this morning, maybe she's taken her temperature because of the symptoms she has. Well, I brought a thermometer this morning, and, of course, it's one of these that you can put up here and see what it does here. It'll beep. Come on. Okay. I'm normal. I told ya. Nobody believed me, but okay. So anyway, what do we use a thermometer for? We use a thermometer as a indication of maybe, you know, if you feel like you're achy and whatever, the first thing you're going to do is, I wonder if I've got a temperature. So a thermometer might be an indication of saying your body's fighting something in your, you know, your body's fighting something that's going on in your body. Well, the same is true with our spiritual temperature. The Bible talks about or gives three indications or categories that we can be in our spiritual temperature. We can either be icy cold or miserably lukewarm, or we can be burning hot. Now, let's talk about the first one, icy cold. Jesus said in Matthew 24, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Someone who has a heart of stone, maybe. Or it says non-believers who have no interest in the things of God. They just don't care. Okay? How about the second one? Miserably lukewarm. Actually, this spiritual temperature is more offensive to Jesus than being cold. Now, you would think it would be, you know, kind of like in between. But we're going to explain that as we go along. Because Jesus talks about Laodicea being lukewarm. And John writes in Romans chapter 3, it says, I know your works, that you are neither cold or hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. So how many of us here this morning drink coffee? I do. Raise your hand if you drink coffee. Okay. Do you like it hot? Do you like it cold? How many of you like your coffee hot? Okay. How many of you like your coffee cold? Me? That's it? Iced coffee. But do we like it lukewarm? No. Some of you said yes, they do? Okay. Well, okay, let's go to tea. How many of us like iced tea? Okay. Okay, how many of us like hot tea? Okay. Do we like warm tea? Not very many of us do. Okay, here's another one. How about milk? How many of us, now I've never had, well, I can't say I haven't had really hot milk, but how many of us like hot milk? Few people? Okay, how about like cold milk? Okay, most everybody likes cold milk. But none of us really like I remember when I lived on the farm with my grandparents in the summertime, and you went out to get the milk from the cows, and they would have me, you know, sometimes, let's say we were having breakfast and there was no milk, I would go out and my grandma would say, go get the milk from the boys who are milking cows, go get some milk. And what was it? It wasn't hot, but it was what? Warm. No. And back then, you didn't have 2%. I mean, that was whole milk. And that really stuck to your teeth and your tongue and your mouth. And it was like one of those flavors that just stuck with you, okay? Well, of course, the cats, they didn't care what temperature it was. I mean, just squirt that stuff in my mouth, they were saying, you know. They're right there watching. So, when I'm thinking of hot, cold, and lukewarm, the first thing that came to my mind, and I said, Holy Spirit, behave yourself. I was peach porridge hot, peach porridge cold, peach porridge in the pot 9 days old. But as I was researching this, another thing that they gave was, a good example, is we don't want to be a Goldilocks, right? Because when she went into the house, what did she say? This porridge is too cold, this porridge is too hot, but this porridge was just right. So it was warm. So we don't want to be a Goldilocks when it comes to our spiritual temperature, okay? Because again, Jesus says, I will spew you out. So another thing I saw this little poster, and it says, lukewarm is like sitting on a fence. It's strictly prohibited, okay? So the third category is burning hot. That's a spiritual temperature that the Father wants us to be, that Jesus wants us to be. It says in Luke 24:32, it talks about the two disciples that were walking on the road to Emmaus with Jesus. And they, after Jesus was with them, the disciples said, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened up the scriptures to us? Okay, so that's, by what they said there, God is wanting us to get fired up, stirred up for the things of God. So today I ask you, what is your spiritual temperature? It says in Luke 24, beginning at Moses, because Jesus walked with those two disciples on the Emmaus Road, and he talks about what's in the Bible. And it says in Luke 24, again, it says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Jesus expounded to them in all the scriptures the things that concerned himself. So, and as I was studying this, this particular time that Jesus was talking to these two disciples on the road to Emmaus, it had to be one of the greatest sermons or teachings that he ever had done. Because it goes on, it says, Jesus took the two disciples over an overview of the scriptures and all the verses that pointed to the Messiah. Wow. I mean, he pretty much laid it all out on the line. For example, in Genesis chapter 3, it says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Or maybe Jesus said to the two disciples, he talked about Abraham and how it was a type and shadow of things to come, because what did Abraham do? He was going to sacrifice his son because that's what God told him to do. But in the end, he did not have to. But again, it was a type and shadow that God was sending his son to be crucified and to take upon himself the sins of the world. But then again, Abraham didn't have to sacrifice his son, as it turned out. But again, God wanted to see where he was at. Was he hot? Was he cold? Was he lukewarm? Was he, you know, on the fence? No, he showed God that even, when he said to Isaac, when Isaac said, well, where's the sacrifice? If we're going to go up there and we're going to do this, Father, where is the sacrifice? And what Abraham said to him was, God will provide. Now that's faith for you. God will provide. And sure enough, there was a lamb in the thicket, and that was the sacrifice. But let's go on and let's talk about another thing that Jesus might have said to these two disciples on the road to Emmaus. It says in Exodus, he was the Passover lamb. In Numbers, he was the rock in the wilderness who was broken and given water, living water. Or how about the book of Joshua? He was the captain of the Lord's army. And then in Isaiah 9, he was called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. And then it goes on to say, he might have said in Isaiah 53, because he talks about all these different things that pointed to him as the Messiah. It says Isaiah 53, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and that by his stripes ye are healed, or we are healed. Jesus may have pointed to them, those two disciples, out of Micah, saying, the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. All these things, because for them to say what they did, that, you know, let's go back to that. It says, our hearts burn. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road, while he opened up the scriptures to us about who, you know, about, because they were grieving the loss, because they had a hope that Jesus was going to be the king and that he was over going to come the Romans. They were just looking in the natural. They didn't realize that this was all going to be a spiritual thing. So they were grieving the loss of a hope that had, to them, had died. So what happens? What happens in this transformation of when Jesus shares the overview of the word to them? What happens? Their hopelessness turns back into hope. Their despair is taken away because of the word of God that's put back in them. It gets them fired up. So as Jesus was going with the disciples on a guided tour of the Bible, their hearts began to burn again. They started that torch started back up again. I remember when my brother Larry, who just passed away this last year, I remember, I think Marilyn Erna was her name, she had shared the good news of the gospel with him when he was a teenager. And he kind of got away from it over the years. And I remember running into her and I said, you know, Marilyn, I'm so concerned that, you know, he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And I said, you know, I don't want that fire, that light to go out. And she says, Bonnie, once that fire is lit, it'll always stay lit. As long as you continue to stand in the gap for him and pray for him. And do you know that just before he died, you know, maybe months before, him and his wife talked about the Lord, and that she knew that fellowship that he had with the Lord had not died. That light had not gone out. That he still, you know, had a hope and a trust in the Lord. So it was comforting to her, but it was also to me, because I had that spiritual connection with him. And so God answered my prayer by having someone share that with me. So in Hebrews chapter 4, it says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So right here it tells us that when our hearts are stirred, God can use us. But when our hearts are saddened or heavy laden, that's when he says the word can come in and put you back where you need to be. Even when you're heavy laden, even when you're sad, empty, or drained. Like I said earlier when we started the service, that sometimes our vessels are just well dry. And we can't wait to get in here to get the word and get filled back up again so that we can go back out there and do what God's called us to do. And that's what the word is saying to us here. For the word of God is a living, it's a living and a powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder the bone and the marrow. What it's saying here is it separates the soul and the spirit. But God uses us in this vessel. But he shows us that we not only have a physical temperature, but that we too also have a spiritual temperature. And so sometimes we need to re-examine where our spiritual temperature is at. You know, with our thermometer here that I showed you, you know, we have that as a physical. It's materialistic. We can see it. But sometimes when we, you know, we get so wrapped up in the things of the world, so wrapped up in the cares of the world, that we have a hard time stopping ourselves and saying, okay, where am I? Where is my spiritual temperature today? Where am I at spiritually? Where am I at spiritually with the Lord? Where am I at? Satan wants us to be so preoccupied with the cares of the world. He wants us to stay focused on those things so that we don't ask ourselves that question. Where are we at spiritually? Where am I at, Lord, with you today? So that's the way Satan works. He tries to get ahead of that so we don't ask ourselves that, so we don't sit there and say, okay, what do I need to do to be back where I know I should be? So I have personally myself found that when I start my day before my feet ever hit the floor, I get the word out. I start reading through the word. I read through daily devotionals. I pray before my feet hit the floor, depending on Opal and whether she needs to go outside or not. But if I don't do it then all of a sudden everything comes at you. And I know we've all been there, done that, especially if you're working. I mean, it's like once your feet hit the floor, you're in third gear already, you know, and you're almost burning rubber, and you're, you know, from the time your foot hits the floor off the bed, you're leaving marks on your floor because you're taking off so fast. But with the word of God, it brings wisdom, it brings hope, it brings encouragement, it gives direction, it puts an excitement back in us. The faith is the substance of the things that we hope for. So if we have a hope for something, if we have faith, faith is the substance that will bring that hope of that whatever we want. It brings it into fruition. It brings it to us. It could be a salvation of a loved one. It could be healing for someone. It could be a relationship, a restored relationship. It doesn't have to necessarily be something materialistic. You know, the older we get, we find those materialistic things are nothing. But relationships and our relationship with the Father are the most important. Our families, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren are the most important things to us. They're our legacies. So the Word of God can help direct us with our families and the next generation, and the next generation. Because they look back at us and they see how God, you know, what God did in your life, how God kept you strong, how God got you through all those different seasons in your lives. I'm sure as you look back, if you look back at your parents, the seasons that they went through, the hardships that they went through, did they trust in the Lord? Did they have a hope in the Lord? That the word was their foundation. So the word can not only bring excitement, It also has a plan for you. It also gives you a purpose, God's purpose. There's a peace that passes all understanding in the Word. It brings faith in a place of fear. It brings life where there is death, joy instead of sadness, light in the darkness. That's what the Word does. Now, before, I've got a little, I'm doing good on time today, so I want to share two things. First off, yesterday or last night, when I go to bed at night around 9:30, 9 o'clock, I will turn on YouTube and I will listen to a teaching. I don't know whether any of you know a Kat Kerr. It's K-A-T-K-E-R-R. She's 76 years old. She actually went to heaven when she was 4 years old. Has been with the Lord throughout her life. She made some bad choices in her life, got back with the Lord, and now she serves the Lord in a mighty way. She goes throughout the world. She is a prophetess. She did share a story last night that I want to share with you. The gentleman asked her a question. He said, she's been to heaven a number of times, and she said that he asked her, he says, is there some people, and we've all heard this, you know, when we get to heaven, are we going to see people that we never would have thought would have been there? Or are we going to see people that that we thought would be there that aren't there? I mean, we've heard that, right? Okay. So he asked her this question. He said, are there some people that were in heaven that you were surprised to see? And she said, she didn't say one way or the other that she was surprised. But he said, can you give me some examples of some that were there? Again, she did not say, I didn't expect them there. She did not say that. She doesn't say anything negative. But she mentioned Whitney Houston. And she mentioned John Wayne. And she said she knows for a fact that John Wayne accepted Christ. And I heard two different stories, but the one that she shared was different than the first one that I heard. That as he was lying on his deathbed, he must have been able to still somewhat get around. But he was watching the Crystal Cathedral Sunday sermon, and it said at the end of that message, if you have not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, wherever you are, get down on your knees and accept Christ as your Savior. He literally crawled out of his bed, got down on his knees, and accepted Christ as his Savior. And she remembers hearing that from a very well-known person that knew him. I think it was his sister or daughter or whatever. And there were a couple other people that she shared that, you know, maybe we would say, are you serious? They're there? But again, when we get there, we're going to be surprised at some of those that we didn't expect to be there that are there. But it's because God is so merciful. And if you show in any inkling of a way that Christ is your Savior, he's got you. He's got you. He wants you. Remember last week when I talked to you and I said that Jesus said the hardest day for me is coming? And he was talking about judgment, because he said, even though they don't receive me as their Lord and Savior, I still love them. That when the day of judgment comes, they are going to be departed from me and I'm never going to see them again. But that doesn't mean my love for them has stopped. And I will grieve because I will never see them again. He's saying, I still love them. So if that's the case, just showing just a little bit of, you know, I think maybe there is Jesus. I think I am going to trust him. It could be seconds before you go on to be with the Lord. But the door is open to you. Now, I want to share this, and it's kind of a history or geographical lesson or history lesson. I'm going to give you an example. Laodicea is right in the middle here. It's in between two cities. The first city we're going to talk about is Hierapolis. We're going to say Hierapolis is here. And Colossae is here. Again, Laodicea is here. Now, Hierapolis is known for, at that time, was known for its hot mineral springs. And in fact, back then, Cleopatra and Mark Antony actually went on a rendezvous to some of these hot springs. Okay? On the other side of Laodicea is the city of Colossae. Now, Colossae, it was known for its mountains, the snow-capped mountains. So when the snow would melt, it would run down the mountain and go into the city of Colossae. So here's Laodicea. Colossae's on this side. It's got the cold water. On this side is the hot mineral springs, and that's Hierapolis. So there was about 10 to 11 miles between, like from this distance to this distance. That's the distance in miles between them and Laodicea. Well, back then, the engineers thought they really wanted, because the city was so big and you know, they were up on the newest thing, that they wanted to have running hot and cold water brought in to Laodicea. So they figured out that what they would do is they would bring the hot water in, and it would come by clay pots or clay pipes, and then the cold water would come in by aqueducts, okay? So the day came when they were going to turn the water in, because they had all this done now, all this transferring of the water from Colossae and Hierapolis. We're going to come into the city. They had all the piping and whatever they had done. And they were going to turn the water on in Laodicea. And when they did, the people drank the water and they spit it out. Why did they spit it out? Well, one, that's 10 miles. It's 10, 11 miles from each of these distances. So by the time the cold water from Colossae came, it got, you know, got warmer and warmer and warmer as it was coming down the pipe. Well, the other one was Hierapolis. That was hot water. Well, that water got cooler and cooler and cooler as it started coming. So by the time it got to the city of Laodicea, the water was lukewarm. But on top of that, the way they were transporting it, they were getting the aftertaste of the aqueduct and also the clay pot or the clay pipes. So they spewed the water out because it tasted awful. So the reason I shared this morning is because it wasn't so much that the water was hot and cold. That was its purpose, but it wasn't that. It was the source of where the water came from. The source is what made the water what it was, right? It was the mountains that made the water cold. It was the hot springs that made the water hot. Okay. So we as believers in Christ Jesus, we get our source from the Word of God. Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And Isaiah, like I said, he's the counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is our source. He is our source of our purpose, and that when we find that source, and we find our plan that God has for us, our hearts will then begin to what? Be on fire for God. It's not about who we are, it's about whose we are. And as long as we stay focused on knowing whose we are, we will always maintain a being fired up for God. In Psalms, the Lord brought this to me this morning as I was brushing my teeth. In Psalms 121, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Indeed, he who watches over Israel. See, this is a promise to us. God says, I will watch over my people. We are adopted into his family. Therefore, he's going to watch over us as he watches over Israel. Will neither slumber nor sleep. The sun will not harm you by day or the moon by night. So, today, and maybe every day if we can get into the habit of doing that, start a new habit. Every morning, ask yourself, I feel good. I don't feel like I have a temperature. My physical body is fine. I'm normal. Where is my spiritual temperature today? Am I spiritually hot, spiritually cold, or spiritually lukewarm? Ask ourselves that, because then that puts us in a position where we make the decision. Where do I want to go with this today? What do I want to do with this today? How can I serve God today? And the moment you say that, the moment you bring that out of your mouth, because out of what? Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when you say, what can I do for you today, Lord? What is your plan for me today, Lord? You're automatically putting yourself not in the cold temperature, not in the lukewarm, but that you are on fire for the Lord and that you want to do His will, His plan, and His purpose. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your promises. Father, we thank you that your word, again, just leads us and guides us, puts a hope in us. Just like the two disciples, how it fired up their hearts, Lord. Fire up our hearts. Fire us up, Father. Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us. Lead us and guide us into God's your perfect will. And Father, we just thank you. Thank you, Father, for your word.